إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the worshipper of Allah and his final messenger. Amma ba'd, ayyuhal ibad, the blessings, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us as humans are many blessings. Blessings which we cannot fully appreciate and nor can we count. Your intellects are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your health is a ni'mah. It is a blessing from Allah. You being able to see is a blessing from Allah. You being able to hear is a ni'mah from Allah. You being able to walk is a blessing, is a ni'mah from Allah. Your wealth is a ni'mah. Your iman is a ni'mah. Your tawheed is a blessing. Your masjid is a ni'mah. The safety and the security which you live in is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are blessings which Allah bestows upon us from His kindness and from His grace. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah, you would never be able to enumerate them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is all forgiving and He bestows mercy upon you. Contemplate this ayah, O believers. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mention trying to count the blessings of Allah, and that you are not able to count the blessings of Allah? And then straight away He mentioned, وَإِنَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and that Allah is forgiving and most merciful. It's as if Allah is saying to us that if Allah was to request from you to thank Him for each of His blessings, for every ni'mah, then you would not be able to do so. And if you were ordered to count the blessings of Allah, then you are too weak to do so. So if He was to punish you for not appreciating the blessings of Allah upon you, then this punishment would not be oppression upon you. Yet despite all of this, He is Ghafurun. He forgives. And He is Rahimun. And He shows mercy. So even though we will never be able to appreciate and count and show thanks to Allah for every individual blessing, yet at the same time, it is an obligation upon us to be thankful and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't forget His kindness which He bestows upon us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O people of iman, O you who believe, eat from the pure things which we have provided for you. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ. And show shukr, show gratitude, show thanks to Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. And from the plots of shaitan upon the people is that he makes them forget the blessings of Allah upon them. And he makes them forget gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the majority of the people, the only thing which they have with them is complaints. Always complaining about their situation. Instead of showing thanks and gratitude, shukr, for the kindness of Allah and for the many blessings which He blesses us with, instead, we are negligent and we ignore these blessings. And so then shaitan traps us. And the only thing which we have is complaints. And this is the plot of shaitan. And this is the promise of shaitan. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He said, surely I will come to them from the front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. And from behind them. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. and from the right side. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ and from the left side. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And then, O Allah, you will see that the majority of them, they do not show a shukr. So this is how shaitan plots against the people. This is how he weakens their gratitude in front of their Lord. He will say to you, what do you possess? Even if you possess much, even if you live in much luxury, he will say to you, what do you possess? Look at Fulan, look at Alan, look at so and so, look at how much he has. What do you have? How much wealth you have? Even if you have a lot of wealth and you are living in affluency, he will say, look at Fulan and Alan, look at so and so, look how much wealth they have. So much so that then a person becomes unappreciative of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the greatest plots that shaitan has against the people. Because a weakness in shukr, a weakness in gratitude, a weakness in appreciation is a sign of a weakness of a person's iman, a weakness of his faith. And a lack of shukr leads to kufr. It leads to al-kufr. And for this reason, in a single ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions shukr, gratitude, and kufr, disbelief, as opposites to each other. He said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Remember me, and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ And show shukr to me, show gratitude to me, and do not fall into kufr. I do not fall into rejecting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah orders us with remembering Him, and then He gives a great reward, a promise that if you remember me, I will remember you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ If you remember me, then I promise the great reward that I will also remember you. And then when kufr is the opposite of shukr, then he warns against kufr and he orders with shukr. Then he says, وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ So show gratitude and thanks for the many blessings which I have blessed you with. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ And do not fall into kufr. And from the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, from those blessings which we often forget, is the blessing of a house. The house which you live in. This is one of the greatest blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So much so, He mentions this kindness in the Quran. He said, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا Allah has made for you from your houses سَكَن, a place of settlement and a place in which you can live. So contemplate this word which Allah has used to describe our houses. He said سَكَن, meaning it is a place of sakina. It is a place of tranquility. Your house is a place of respite. Your house is a place of relaxation from the troubles and the toils of the dunya. This house which you live in, this blessing of Allah, you can isolate yourself in it for a moment, away from the anxieties and the distresses of the dunya. You find comfort in your houses. You find calmness in your houses. You find peace in your houses. And Islam recognizes that from the happiness, from those things which brings a person happiness in this world, is having a nice house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us upon the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, and Al-Albani authenticated this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Arba'un min as-sa'ada," that there are four things, four possessions. If you have them, you will find some happiness and some enjoyment in this world. Al-mar'atu salihah, a righteous wife. Wal-maskanul wasi', and a spacious house, a spacious accommodation. Wal-jaru salih, and a righteous neighbor. Wal-markabul hani, and a comfortable transport, a comfortable mode of transport. Wa-arba'un min ash-shiqa, and four things bring a person worry and distress and anxieties in this dunya. Al-mar'atu su, an evil wife. Wal-jaru su, and an evil neighbor. Wal-markaba su, and a bad mode of transport. Wal-maskanu dayyiq, and a tight, restricted house. And if you want to know the blessing of having a house, then remember, where is it in which you enjoy your food? It is in your houses. Where is it in which you find comfort and relaxation? In your houses. Where is it in you which you can enjoy loneliness for a moment and isolation from the dunya in your houses? Where is it in which you socialize with your parents and your wives and your children in your houses? This house which Allah has blessed you with, in which there is comfort, in it is warm, it is safe and secure. You find tranquility in this house. Your privacy is honored and protected in your own house. Generations, new generations of people are cultivated in this house. All of this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then consider after this and contemplate the state of those unfortunate ones who don't have a house and they don't have a roof and they don't have warmth in the winter. Some of them are sleeping in tents. You see them on the roads and the streets. Many of them are homeless. Some of them are sleeping on the road. How do you think they are in the winter? And how do you think they are in the severe heat? Then you realize the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadallah, if your houses are a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your family is a blessing from Allah jalla sha'nu, then protecting your house and rectifying your house, this is an obligation of the sharia. Na'am, protecting your house from every type of dirt and impurity, of sinning and kufr, and rectifying your house to bring goodness into it. And the fact that your house should be distinguished and different from the houses of al-kufr, this is an obligation of the sharia. So the house is the first school of every child. You aren't able to control what happens outside in the society and community, but you have control of that which is in your house. You are the wali of your house. You are the guardian of your house. You have authority in your house. If you cannot establish Islam in the community outside, then at least establish Islam in the four walls of your own houses. Na'am. Don't look and don't complain about the corruption of society. Don't complain about the corruption of the community. But look to rectify your own house. So your houses is a place of refuge. It is a place of settlement. It is a place of relaxation. A person, his wife, his parents, his children, they spend the majority of their lives in their houses. So if you rectify your house, and you rectify your family, then your life as a Muslim is rectified. And for this reason, we have to attach importance to our houses and rectifying and protecting and guarding our houses and our families. Societies. What is a society? What is a community? A society, a community is only a group of families. And these families, where do they live? They live in houses. This house, it makes up areas, and these areas make up cities. So if each one of us attaches importance to his own house and his own family and rectifies his own four walls and that which is under his roof, then the areas are rectified and the communities are rectified and a Muslim is able to live in society. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised us that when there is fitna outside, when there is corruption in the community, then seek shelter in your own house. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Tuba, glad tidings. Glad tidings for the one, man malaka lisanahu, the one who controls his tongue. Wa wasi'ahu baytuhu, and his house is enough for him. Wa baka ala khati'atihi, and he weeps over his own sins." So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he admonishes us that when there is corruption in society, when there's confusion and violence and fitna outside, then control your tongue. Don't increase the fitna. Don't speak about the fitna. Control your tongue. And let your house be enough for you. If there is evil outside, then rectify your house so there's goodness in your house. And then weep over your own sins. Don't look and don't complain about the sins of others. Don't complain about the corruption of the community, but rectify your own house. And there are a number of advices that are important with relation to our houses. First of them, the first advice, the first nasiha, is the leader of the house, meaning the man, the father, the husband. He has to be a role model in goodness in his actions before his statements, so that his children and his wife can see his good actions. And he has to guarantee and guard the goodness in his house. and he has to repel every evil and every harm from his household and from his family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi." The best of you, meaning the best Muslim, is the one who is the best for his own family. The one who is most beneficial for his own family. The second nasiha, the second piece of sincere advice, is that every Muslim man, the one who has authority in his house, he is obliged to encourage and push his wife towards righteousness, towards living an Islamic life, to rectify her statements, her actions, her clothing, her going, her coming, so that they can both live an Islamic life. And this is through various ways, through teaching her, advising her, admonishing her, using gentle words and loving terms, and that he allows righteous women to visit her in his house, and he allows her to have righteous friends that she visits, and that they read books together or they listen to lectures together, and that he repels every type of harm and evil from her, and he is always checking her movements and her actions. Is there any evil or harm about to befall her? And if there is, then he admonishes her and he teaches her with goodness. And also our noble sisters. Our noble sisters, many of them are more righteous than their husbands. And many of them are more pious than their husbands. And therefore, they have to support their husbands in righteousness and advise their husbands upon righteousness and encourage their husbands upon righteousness, but with good words, with gentle words and respecting his authority. So a righteous wife should not complain about her husband always being going to the masjid and praying in the masjid. Wallahi, this is better than many of the husbands who spend their times in the town centers and spend their hours in the gyms and spend their times with their friends. And yeah, your husband is a righteous man and he goes to the masjid. So encourage him to go to the masjid. Encourage him to pray in al-jama'ah. And then the third piece of sincere advice is that your houses or brothers and sisters should be a place of ibadah, not only a place of entertainment and talking and joking. So our houses should not be empty and void of salah, nawafil, reciting the Quran, advising each other, seeking knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ij'alu min salatikum fi buyutikum wa la taj'aluha qubura." He said, pray some of your nafal prayers at home and do not make them like graveyards. So our houses should not be like graveyards, because in the graveyards there is no salah, there is no dhikr, there is no recitation of the Quran. But in our houses these things should be there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he compared a house in which there is dhikr and a house in which there is no dhikr. He said, مَثَلُ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِي لَيْسَ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. That the example of a house in which there is the remembrance of Allah and a house in which there is no remembrance of Allah, he said, مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ, is like the difference between a living person and a dead person. So the dhikr of Allah in our houses brings life to our houses. And the forgetfulness of Allah in our houses brings death to our houses. And for this reason, when Fir'aun, alayhi la'natullah, when he spread mischief in the community, when he spread corruption in the community, then what did Allah order Musa and his brother to do? He ordered Musa to go rectify the houses of the people. So if Fir'aun does not allow you to pray in the community, then at least your house is rectified. Allah said, "Wa awhayna ila Musa wa akhihi." We revealed to Musa and his brother, "An tabawwa'a li qawmikuma misra bi misra buyuta," that they should build houses for the people in Misr. "Waj'alu buyutakum qibla," and make your own houses qibla, meaning a place of worship. "Wa aqimu salah," and establish your prayers in your houses. "Wa bashiril mu'minin," and give glad tidings to the believers. So if Fir'aun prevents you from righteousness in the community, then rectify your houses. "Waj'aluha qibla," and make your houses a place of worship. And then the fourth piece of nasiha is that from the masculinity of a man, of a Muslim, from him being a Muslim man, is that he orders his household with the salah. And he checks and he looks and he is always guarding the salah of his family. Because a man, a Muslim man, ordering his children and his family, his wife, upon the prayer, this is from manhood. And this is from the great symbols of al-Islam. And it requires patience. Over long term, a person has to keep ordering his children with salah. and ordering his wife with salah. Allah said, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Order your family with the salah. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And then have patience and diligence upon it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised his prophet Ismail alayhi salam. Why? He said, كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. He praised him because Ismail used to order his family with a salah. So much so that the Prophet said, مُرُّوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ السَّبْعِ. Order your children, cultivate your children, teach your children to pray and they're only 7 years old. وَضْرِبُوا عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ الْعَشَرِ. And discipline your children upon the prayer and they are 10 years old. Subhanallah, the Sharia orders the Muslim man, the father, the husband, to order his children and they are 7 years old, before the age of puberty, before even salah is a wajib upon his children, and yet the man is a guardian over the salah. So if this is the case with 7 year olds, this is your responsibility, then how can you leave adults in your house and they are not praying? How can you leave women in your house, your wife, and she's not praying? You enter and you exit and you don't check whether your wife has prayed or not, and whether your children have prayed or not. Some people, some husbands, they are righteous, but their righteousness is restricted to themselves. They go to the masjid and their children are sleeping. They go to the masjid and their children are praying. There is absolutely no accountability over their wives, whether she has prayed or she has not prayed. So we can't waste our children and waste our families when it comes to as-salah, but with gentle words and with a good type of ad-da'wah. And we have to remember and understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna rajula sayaqifu bayna yaday Allah, that each man shall stand in front of his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa yus'alu an ahli baytihi, and then he will be questioned about the family in his house, whether he fulfilled his responsibility or whether he failed. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أيها الإخوة, having a house and having a family, this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it is a responsibility upon our necks. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he compared us to shepherds. And each shepherd has his own flock. And each shepherd is responsible for his own flock. He said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every one of you is a shepherd. And each shepherd will be held accountable on يوم القيامة for his flock. He said, الرَّجُلْ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. The man, the husband, the father, he is the shepherd of the flock in his house, meaning his household. مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, and he will be questioned on يوم القيامة regarding his flock. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. And the woman, the wife, the mother, she is also a shepherd. And she is a shepherd over the house of her husband. وَمَسْعُولَ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا. And she will also be questioned on يوم القيامة regarding her responsibility. And there are certain mistakes, common mistakes, which are occurring in our houses. First of these mistakes is the hanging of pictures, photographs, especially photos of our own children. Ali radiallahu anhu, he narrates, he said, صَنَعْتُ طَعَامًا, that one day I cooked some food, I prepared some food. فَدَعَوْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So I called the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ to my house, his own son-in-law. Ali is the son-in-law of the Prophet, he is the cousin of the Prophet. He calls him to his house for this food he has prepared for them. فَجَاءَ فَدَخَلْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he entered the house. فَرَأَى سِتَارَةً فِيهَا تَصَاوِيرٍ. And then the Prophet saw a curtain. And on this curtain were images, meaning images of living beings. فَخَرَجْ. And then he left the house. He didn't enter the house. And neither did he eat from the house. And then he said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَا تَدْخُرُ بَيْتًا فِيهَا تَصَاوِيرٍ. فِيهِ تَصَاوِيرٍ. Angels do not enter a house in which photos or pictures are being displayed, meaning pictures of humans, of children, of animals. So if the angels don't enter your house because you have got photographs of your children, of people, of animals hung up on your walls, then there's no protection for you from shaitan, from jinn, from magic, from evil eye, from jealousy. And how widespread have these matters become? People are complaining about evil eye upon their children, and jealousy upon their children, and black magic upon their children, and the effects of jinn upon their children. And then when you enter the house, in order to rectify this situation, you see pictures. So how will Allah, and how will Allah protect this house through the angels if the angels are not entering? Also, from the mistakes which are occurring in the houses of the people is that parents are not checking and not observing what the children are doing. So that which is seen in the house, on TV, on the internet, and that which is listened to, there is no checking and overlooking these matters. And this is also dangerous. It's your responsibility as a father to know what your son, your daughter is looking at and watching. Also, from the mistakes which are occurring is how quickly children are being addicted to smartphones and tablets and computers. And it's not hidden from anybody, the dangers of the internet. If you give a smartphone to your child when he or she is young, and then you allow them to sit in their room and they are alone, and then on top of this you have no control over what they are watching, then you have destroyed your own children. You have destroyed your child in your own house at 4 or 5 years old before he's destroyed by society. So at the least, delay giving them a smartphone or a tablet until there's a time of need. And when you give them, there have to be rules. The smartphone stays in the living room. There has to be control of the internet, and so on and so forth. So you can't put your head in the sand and overlook and be ignorant of these matters. And also the mistakes that occur is not teaching our children. Daughters enter and exit. It doesn't matter what time they come and go. A daughter enters 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m., and the father and the mother, they do not know. Also, teaching the children that you have to seek permission before you enter into a room. When you eat, you have to eat together. The adab of dua, the adab of salah, hygiene, purification, all of this is a responsibility upon the parent. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آل محمد اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة